service. So we're over here on page 360. We did yesterday the mitzudas. Let's go through. Let's see the Rashi. Rashi pasuk. I'll read the pasukim again. Pasuk Yugimel Shema Tefilasi Hashem Veshavasi Hazina. It's mamish the perfect pasuk we possibly have for Parashas Hazinu. Erev Shabbos Parashas Hazinu. Hazinu Hashamayim Vadaber V'Sishma Ha'aretz. We have V'Sishma and Hazinu in the reverse order. What was that?
Somebody on the.
Okay, no problem. So we have over here L'shima Sifilasi Hashem listen, V'Shavosi Hazina, my cry hearken. What is the difference between the word Shema and Hazina? Obviously, it means that in this week's parasha is to listen. So in this week's parasha, you learn that it means to listen from close, to listen from far. Hazinu Hashamayim. The Shamayim is far away. So you have to put on a loudspeaker. You have to have a special.
Just the opposite.
Yeah.
It's just the opposite. He was in, this is Moshe's last day, his head was already
in Shemayim.
In Shemayim.
Okay, so since he was in Shemayim, so Hazina is
Hazinu Hashemayim by the bear was Shishma Haaretz in
Reis. Far away.
The difference was far away. Yeshaya, when he said it, he was still living here.
On earth. Excellent. Okay, so these words refer to distance. There's a difference between hearing something close up, hearing something distance. As an aside, we went to the Sima Shas when it was indoors in Madison Square Garden. And I went to Madison Square Garden. The last time they had it in MetLife. How many times have I met life? Once or twice?
Twice.
I don't even remember it. Unbelievable. Everything just blends into one big morph story. So I found, for some reason, maybe it's my imagination, I don't know, I found that when it's indoors, you feel you're part of it. It's you don't have to do anything. You just sit back.
It's not only in those rattles. You had 90,000 people or 20,000.
No, I don't think it's the number. I don't think it's the number of people.
Much closer and more intimate group. Only 20.
I hear what you're saying, but I accept what you're saying. There's truth to what you're saying, absolutely. But there's something different about being indoors. When you're indoors, it's the sound. It's just somehow it's like you're locked in. You're locked in. When I was midlife, I really felt I had to apply myself to be part of it. It's like I would just sit there, I'll miss the whole thing. Is it because it was so far away? It's so big. I don't know. I just feel like it's something about being indoors. When you're indoors, there's a certain intensity that you cannot have when you're outdoors. I remember down in Yom Narom, COVID. There was a COVID minion on my block. People who mamish did not leave the house since COVID started. COVID started Purim, and it was, how many months was it from Purim all the way to Rosh Hashanah? So the son of my block was very kind, Dr. Yitzhak Ariel, around the corner from me, and he really wanted these people, they were elderly people, he wanted to be mahana them. They should, you know, they were very, they still, it was dealing over here, what was it, January, February, March, April, May, June, July, August, September, 9 months. These people did not leave their homes. They were locked in. This was the first time many of these people went to a minyan.
Right.
It was unbelievable to me. I think about 13, 14 people, men, and he asked me if I can come and I can help the minyan. So I went, and we davened outside in the backyard. And for these people, it was really a life-changing experience to finally get out of the house after 9 months. And yet, the davening to me outdoors, there's something that's lacking. There's something that indoors, you're confined and you're sheltered. There's a certain intensity that can only be created indoors, not when it's outdoors. You know, it says a lot about, like, in the Beis Hamikdash. In the Beis Hamikdash, where was the avodah? It was outdoors. Everything except inside the Heichel and the Kodesh HaKodesh. There's no coincidences in the Beis HaMikdash. A good chelik of the Avodah is outdoors. Yet the Heichel and the Kodesh HaKodeshim are indoors. It's by design. If Hashem wanted, they would have offered the Korbanos indoors. If Hashem wanted, the Kodesh HaKodeshim would be outdoors. It's not a coincidence. There's a reason why the Heichal and the Kodesh HaKadoshim have a ceiling, and the Mokam where they bring the Korbanos does not have a ceiling. It's not just because of all the smoke. So you can make a chimney. You can make it, the whole base of Mirz, we learn Yechezkel, the whole base of Migdash, they would never, ever in a million years get a permit from any city in the world. Any city in the world would never give the base HaMikdash a permit for its structure. For no way, it thoroughly impossible. The number of exits, the way it's constructed, it violates every single code. No, there wasn't. In the Bayis Shlish, no, there was for the amount of people that went there, the number of people that we know during time of the Bayis, they broke Korbanos. No. And they did the avodah on the steps. Not so pasha. You look, study very carefully. Show it to an architect. You take an architect. A lot of girls today, they go into architecture. A lot of people, a lot of women are from girls. They in Eretz Yisrael especially. It's a very big profession, Eretz Yisrael. By Beis Yaakov girls, professional, not talking over here, taking a course online. We're talking over here, taking real schooling. It's, but any event, there's a difference in how you hear something. Sometimes you hear something near, and there are times when you hear something that's far away, and it's a very different experience in how you hear. Hazina, hazinu, hashamayim va'adre. This is Shmar Tzimri. Ramesky said, the difference between Moshe and Yeshaya, Moshe was already in Shemayim. His mind was already there. So by the word hazinu, is Ramesky, you're saying is near. When you're in proximity of the subject. And Shemia, you're saying is from where it's far away. So look at this pasuk. Shemos Sifilasi, with that interpretation, Shemos Sifilasi would be from far. Listen to my tefila from far, Hashem. Vishavo, see my cry, Hazina, near. What's the chilek? Obviously, Vishavosi, a person is in a matzav of a shava, means to scream out. There is more of an intensity in the expression of shava. Now you would think, Adarabba, if you're screaming, it means the person can hear you, right? If you're screaming, if you just you daven tefilasi, so you're whispering, Chana medaberes aliba. So if you're just whispering, you would think that Kadosh Baruch Hu is next to you. So you would expect that according to what this idea, the word hazina is from near. You would expect the word hazina should be connected to the word sifilasi. And vishavasi, which is an expression of a scream, a shava, a scream, because that would be from far. Yet it's just the opposite. Why? Obviously, we're not dealing here with distance, we're dealing with intensity. When a person's heart is broken and he's suffering and he's in pain, and he cries, a shava, then it's ki'ilu HaKadosh Baruch Hu is right in front of you. Then it's begeder hazina. When a person, everything is good, it's just, you know, a everyday tefila, and there's a lack of intensity, or relatively speaking, the intensity is not that great, then it's shema. Okay, so this is an interesting idea. If you accept this notion that the chilik between shemiyah and hazina is a difference of distance. If a difference of distance, then it's choymer ledrush here in this pasuk to understand the difference why the word shema is associated with the word sifilasi and hazina is associated with the word vishavasi hazina. Okay, then we have el dimasi. Now this is very interesting. El dimasi al techrash. Go further along. This you don't have in this week's parasha. This you don't have in this week's parasha. A third expression of al techrash, do not be deaf. Okay, so shema, let's assume means if you'll be im hachareish tacharishi, if you're going to be silent. So word shima means you have to actually apply yourself to listen. Apply yourself. Apply yourself, like as mentioned, in MetLife. I felt that I had to actually pay attention. And if I don't pay attention, I'm going to miss the whole thing. When I was in Madison Square Garden, I didn't have to pay attention. It overcame me. It was just somehow, it was hazina. When you're actually so close, it's even more. It's al techerash. It's like downloaded directly into your brain. You don't have to apply yourself. You don't have to even go through the motions of listening. The conversation, the sound is so intense. It's so natural. It's like a direct download. There's no need to even use your ears. The information just somehow penetrates, and now Hashem, respond. Don't be silent. Respond. Respond to my dimasi. When you reach the intensity of a dimasi, Hashem does not need to even listen. It's automatically put in his conscience what your requests are, what your needs are. There are three levels of hearing. A level of hearing called Shemia, a level of hearing called Hazina, and here in this pasuk we have a higher level which we don't even have in the parasha. We don't even have the parasha of El Dimasi, my tears. You are Kodesh Baruch Hu, you know about it. You don't need to go through the process of going through the ears and the nerves to the brain and to reach your consciousness. It already, it's automatically there. That's how intense the hearing is. That's how intense the acceptance is. Al techarash, don't be silent. Ki ger nochi mach, so we did the mitzvah yesterday because I'm a ger nochi mach. I'm just here. Now, according to the mitzvah David, you have to really ask yourself, what is the connection between the beginning of the pasuk and the end of the pasuk? According to the mitzvah David, ger nochi mach, toishav kechol avosai, all it means is I'm only here in this world for a very, very short period of time. I'm not going to be around very long. How does that connect itself to the beginning of the pasuk? Hashem, listen to my prayers. Like he's saying, it's either now or never. It's now or never. I mean, what exactly is the connection? Being that I'm only going to be around here for a very short period of time, and also being that with my father, connected to my father, I'm a toshav. How does that connect to the beginning of the pasuk? I really do not know, according to the mitzvah stuff, and what the connection is. Okay, we'll see the other mafarshim in a moment. Now, ki ger nochi mach, I'm a ger with you, which means I'm here for a very short period of time. Toshav kechalavosai, I'm a resident. Kechalavosai, very bizarre idea according to the mitzvahs that just like my father lived here for a significant number of years. I'm also a person. Generally lives the same amount of time as his parents. That's why Yitzchak, when did Yitzchak give the brachos to Yaakov? How old was Yitzchak? Yitzchak was 100 because he was 5 years.
No,
Abraham lived to 175. But Sarah lived to 127.
Right.
So therefore, since he was within 5 years, 123, 5 years within the range of Sarah Imein, which was 127, so Yitzchak, now is the time I'm going to give the brachas. I do not know how long I'm going to live. A person within 5 years of the age of a parent, a person should already start to worry about the other world. Now, the question is, and you don't know which parent. One parent can be young or old. Is that a biological? Is that a biological mitzis, or is that a spiritual concept? How does all this work? No one ever came back to tell us. Okay, they always go to a doctor. They're always going to ask you, do you have in your family any history of this, any history of that? The first thing the doctor is going to ask a patient, tell me about your family history. Oh, in your family, someone has this? Uh-oh. Right away, test. Are they doing this to make money? Certainly they are. They have to justify doing this, doing that. They need a justification. Oh, in your family, you have this? Oh, we got to go do a whole litany of tests. Okay, they make a killing. They make right away, ding, 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 ding. Is that justified? Is that really cool? Is that really a valid justification? Is that just a technique how to make money? I don't know. I don't know anything. Who am I to say? I don't know what goes on. How...
Unfortunately, today this has led to a lot of people finding out that they didn't know their family history because the person that they said they grew up with wasn't a parent.
Wasn't a parent.
They never knew it.
Okay, that's all. That's not so common.
Not a parent because they found, you know, they did tests because the person has the history of this in the family, and then they found out it wasn't his family.
Okay, that's not so common.
It's very common than you believe today.
So this, I wonder when today Chazal say something very important. A person, when he reaches within 5 years of the age of the petira of his mother or his father, should worry, should have daigus, that his time may be here. Is Chazal telling us a scientific fact, telling us al derech hateva, or is Chazal telling us that it's something spiritual, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives a person time in this world, and bro kared avua, and therefore the person can be the picture of health, for real, under a microscope, he's a lot better than most people. It doesn't matter. There is a certain mazel. There is something in Shemayim where a person comes to this world, he has a certain amount of time, and it's the same way, bro kara davua, the same way there was a certain amount of time by a parent, that's what's going to be for the child. So is it a physical mitzias? Like today, doctors use this to justify putting a person through a series of tests in order to see what's doing under the hood, or is it something that is spiritual? Who knows? I'm the last person to know any of this. I'm not making them know anything here about medicine. Who knows? It's interesting over here that it says, and so we do know that Chazal, that Yaakov Yitzchak, 123, he says, I have to worry about dying. And therefore, I'm going to give the brachas now within 5 years of the petira of my mother. The end was Yitzchak outlived his mother and his father. Yitzchak lived 180 years. Even Avraham only lived to 175. Okay, because you shouldn't see Esav. Go Yosef Tarbus Ra. You shouldn't go Esav.
In the pasuk when it says by Avraham, it says Asher Choy means that he lived. He was supposed to live longer. By Yitzchak, it says he was 180 years.
Yitzchak lived a full life. It's amazing. Yitzchak lived a full life. Avraham.
It says Asher Choy that they lived because they were meant to live longer. By Moshe also, by the way, it says he was supposed to live 100 years. Medrash, he was supposed to live till 150.
Interesting.
He was cut off 30 years were cut off because of the chet. And that's part of why it says, that's one of the different Torah I read from. It says, by Yifkuas Moshe, Shloshim Yom, that the remnants is in that. They cried for 30 days because Yom HaShana also, he was, for the 30 years that he was missing. That's a remnant.
What say again?
Yeah, by when it says Vayifku Bnei Yisrael as Moshe Shloshim Yom, because 1 year for every 1 day for every year that he was supposed to live more. He was originally supposed to live till 150, but unfortunately because of the chet of the Bei Meriva, he didn't, and 30 years were cut off.
So wait, how do you know it's supposed to 150?
Because that it says that the remnants is in that they for 30 years. I assume that I read so much grow the yontif that this is a grow.
150 was supposed to 150.
150.
Never heard this before.
Yeah, he was supposed to live 150, and 30 years will cut off. And the remnants is in Vayivku as Moshe Shloshim Yom. Vayivku Bnei Yisrael Shloshim Yom.
Yom Lashana.
Like that. Yom Lashana. They cried for every day was for a year that were missing for Moshe's life.
Wow! I never. It's a fascinating, fascinating part. Was Kedai to wake up today to hear such a thing?
Yeah, that's
unbelievable.
He lost 30 years of his
so they cried.
I never heard it either.
He's saying a whole new mahalach. He's saying a whole new mahalach in Avelus.
Right.
Is Avelus the loss of the future? The
right.
Potential future that could have been has been lost. And by Moshe, it could have been 30 years more.
He gets into this because of another thing is we say din v'cheshbon.
Yeah.
What do you mean din v'cheshbon? You go din v'cheshbon, you should have said cheshbon v'din.
Okay.
That would be the normal way to express it.
Okay.
Then, you know, give me the bill, and then we'll make
it. So Moshe should have gone into Eretz Yisrael?
That was the original plan, of course.
It was supposed to be.
Only because of the Chet Be'Hamriva.
Bnei Yisrael didn't deserve Moshe to go in because they would have gone in without Melchama. If he took them in, it would have been in his schus. And then it is Mepharshim that say that the Beis HaMikdash never would have been destroyed.
Amazing.
But in other words, the point is here is that you never know if somebody lives longer, maybe he has a greater hashpah on the family he left behind, and it changes the life of his children or grandchildren because he was with them longer. So that's why I had a question: was God took away Avraham 5 years early, so he didn't see Esav Yatzel and Tarv Yisro. Maybe if he had lived another 5 years, I mean, you could ask that question.
Of course.
He would have had a bigger...
Of course. The whole world would have been different. Had Avraham lived another 5 years, it would be a different world. There's no question.
Right.
Every moment...
That's part of
And especially Avraham, that time, Avraham and Yitzchak and Yaakov, they overlapped by 15 years.
Was one of the Mepharshim that say, I mean, this is probably the Medrash, that when Esav, I mean, it says, why did Esav go over to the dark side, so to speak? Because he came home to tell his grandfather that he killed Nimrod. And then he saw, then he came home, and Yaakov, that his grandfather died, he said, God, I wanted to give him the Hanah, that Nimrod would try to kill him, who threw him in the Kibshon Eish, I killed him for you. And he didn't get to see it. So now...
That's a powerful idea.
God is...
God
is dead.
What you're saying is very deep. The trigger that he went off the derech was because here I am to show him sweet revenge.
Right.
To show that look.
I took the come of it.
I took the come, and now you can witness to see
and
the nitzachai. And punk on the day when that you didn't get that hanah in this world.
Years ago. Yeah.
So that was a very powerful trigger for Esav to be yotzel tarav
Yisra.
That's why it's very profound. It makes a lot of sense. It makes a lot of sense.
He just blew his mind.
And he went down a path that was beyond repair. That's a very, very profound idea. You know, the Pashup shot of living 120 years is the world is only supposed to be 6,000 years. Right? That's our outside of Mesoira. So 6,000 divided by 50 is 120. Everything in Yadlus is 50. Yovel is 50. Truma is 1 in 50. The number 50 is a very significant number in Judaism.
I'm going back, because of what you just said, I'm going backwards in time with something else also, that divided into
6,000
years, there was 900, so this is a grah, there's 955 psukim in the bar. But since the limud is 900, if you divide the 900 into 6, because the 6,000 years divided into 6, is 150 for each section. So Moshe, that we get there, that's...
But how many sections? How many
150. But there's 955 sukkim in the Torah, because we have part of the 900 is there's 900 steps to Shemayim. But in the Parshas Hazinu, it says, "V'ein Elokim ani ki ani ani hu v'ein Elokim imodi." From "V'ein Elokim imodi" is the last 55 psukim in Sefer Bereishis is from that pasuk, "V'ein Elokim imodi," to teach you that B'nai Yisrael.
Well, the whole only 52
psukim. You could go up to a certain point, and now you are no
Adkan.
More at level 900. No more malachim. The God says, "You're in my territory now. I'm alone here." At this point, I'm alone. And that's it. This is a long grow. I mean, he gives a whole thing. He's got more than you would think on the parsha. So
very deep, very over the top.
This is gross stuff, you know.
The general rule is, the reason why 120 is generally the max is because a person is only truma. Yeah. Every person in this world exists. We break the world into 50 units. 50 units of 120. And just like Teruma is 1 in 50, and just like in Yovel there are 50 units, a person cannot expect to have more than his share of this world. and this world is 6,000. The time in this world of a person is Truma. Truma Lashem, 150. All right. But you're saying a very fascinating idea that Moshe should have really lived to 150. And 150, and they cried, Vayivchu for Moshe 30 days. 30 days is Yom Lashana. What they lost, what they could have had in the next 30 years had Moshe Rabbeinu remained alive. That's a very, very powerful idea. And that opens up Avelus. Every Avelus, he's saying, really, every time a person is Misabel 30 days, it's a me'ain of Moshe Rabbeinu. Every time we are Misabel on a person, the Avelus is Iker is 30 days. We're being Misabel, Ke'ain the Avelus that Klal Yisrael had for the perfect person. The most perfect person that we knew was Moshe. And Moshe should have lived longer. And he should have lived 30 years longer. Yom Lashana. So when the person, Rachman Lasson, leaves this world and is Avelus for 30 days, it's a dogma. That person is an example of to remind us of what Avelus is all about.
For Miriam, did they sit for a week or 30 days?
For Miriam, it doesn't say.
Aaron, it says, and that's why that was
how long for Aaron to say?
It said, but the difference days? Between Moshe and Aaron, they will also
call B'nai Yisrael.
But right, that's the Libra.
Aaron, it says 30 days?
Yeah.
Oh, so how do you explain that?
I know, that's my question.
153.
As soon as I heard that, I said, whoa.
153.
Yeah.
So what are you going to say? How old was Aaron? Aaron was the oldest, and was Miriam. How old was
Aaron? Miriam was older than Aaron by 4 years.
But and Aaron was older than Moshe by how many years?
Three.
So maybe you'll say, like, you know, they say that Aaron didn't really start life until Moshe came on the scene.
No, but Aaron was the leader of Klal Yisrael before.
Moshe. Right, but when you count, this is a general thing by Avraham. When does life begin?
Right.
What age?
You become the standard bearer of the family. You become the elder statesman.
So there's a time when life starts.
My mother's family, as there were fewer people left, and then my mother started to get more respect. As her contemporaries passed away, she became the elder statesman.
Rav Moshe Feinstein, after Rav Henkin passed away, Rav Moshe Feinstein became prominent.
I remember the conversation when I was a kid.
Until as long as Rav Henkin was alive, people didn't.
Rav Moshe was number two.
I don't even know number two.
I used to hear it on the east side. Then when Rav Henkin died, they said, "Oh, Rav Moshe is number one now."
Rav Moshe became prominent. Rav Henkin. All right, so look, when Moshe was born, a person is not a bar oinchin until he's 20 years old. This is bar mitzvah, bar oinchin. A person, when he develops, it's like, okay, now when he's aware of what's going on, his life to a certain degree first begins. Moshe, when he was born, v'hinei na'ar boiche. And the question is, v'hinei na'ar boiche. He's a tinoik. Why was Moshe called a na'ar the moment that he was born? He's not a na'ar. You have to become a degree. Yosef was called a na'ar first when he was 17 years old. Moshe was already called a na'ar the day that he was born.
So na'ar is from bar mitzvah?
It depends. It depends. Every person, everyone knows by their own children, by their own family, by themselves, there's a certain point in their life where something clicks. And that's when they begin their purpose, their destiny.
It changes. I had one experience that changed me irrevocably. It's when my father called me one night, and I was used to this, like this, and he would ask me a piece of Gemara to explain it. It was always like, I felt like he was testing me to see v'yichal. And then one time he saw me teaching Gemara, and he wanted to know pshat. And I said, I gave him the pshat, and I was hemming and hawing for him, and he said, I'm not testing you, I'm asking you.
It's a different.
I knew my father thought differently of me.
A different degree of maturity.
He treated me differently, and I knew things have changed.
Okay.
I always think about it like that.
That's very interesting. Okay, so let's go further over here. So ger, these two different terms are that a man relative to HaKadosh Baruch Hu is called a ger, relative to his father he's called a toishav uchol avosai. Okay, and then the second pasuk we said was Hasha Hashem. Hashem, may you remove. We learned, may you remove mimeni the avliga, and we learned yesterday the avliga according to Mitzudas, an unusual translation, which really have to do more research on, means I'll be mechazik, and give me strength, give me koyach b'terem elech ve'inenu. We send the whole shiur on this before I die. Before I die, and this is a very unique expression. Elech ve'inenu. Let's see over here the Rashi in these two psukim. Rashi pasuk yud gimel. Is there no? There is no yud gimel pasuk. That is one Rashi. Hosha mimeni heref yotcha milah ha'koyisi. Heref means to let go. Heref means to let go. Hosha, he teaches heref. Heref and hosha.
Heref mimeni v'yashmiden. That's what it means.
Let go. It means right. It means if you're holding on, the way that Moshe Rabbeinu, the Rashi, or the Chazal is the question. What do you mean heref mimeni v'yashmiden? I'm not holding on to you. I'm not touching you. Don't touch the merchandise. I'm not touching you. Oh, Hashem wants me. Hashem, he wants me to hold on to him. He wants me to hold on to him. I should hold on to him. How do you hold on to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? How do you hold on to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? You hold on to his talus. Vayavor Hashem al pono vayikra. We learned, Rabbi Yochanan says, Kavi Yochol, Shehisateif HaKadosh Baruch Hu kishliach tzibor. We learned this. I can't believe this pshat. According to what I saw in one of these svarim, Rabbi Yochanan, he says, you don't understand what Rabbi Yochanan is saying. He's not saying only, oh, a very nice medrash, Vayavar Hashem al ponov, Vashem, he taught Moshe as a medrash, Hashem, he put on a talis, and here we learn you should wear a talis when you say the Yod Gimel Midas Rachamim. No, this is the Pshutoi Shel Mikra. How do you learn Vayavar? We said, actually, Chazar, how do you learn Vayavar? Yom Kippur is over already. It's too late to go Mir Hashem for next year. Vayavar. It means Hashem passed. Hashem's motorcade went by, and you're standing there on the street. Moshe's there. He's in the rock, the cleft of the rock, and Hashem is passing by. Vayavar Hashem al ponov, before the ponim of Moshe. That's one shot. Vayikra. It's a machloikis. Either Moshe called out or Hashem called out, but Hashem is passing. Vayavor Hashem, Hashem's Shechina is passing by. That's how it says it in all of the art scroll Sidurim. In all of the English translations, you will see Vayavor Hashem, Hashem is in motion. The Gemara Rabbi Yochanan says, no, art scroll got it wrong. Vayavor means Hashem took in his hand a talis, and he vayavor, and he took the talis and he passed it upon his ponim. Just like when you wake up in the morning and you take your talis and you put it over your head and you shakal azoy and azoy, you go, which way goes first? The left or the right? The left, and then the right. Vayavor Hashem, he took in his hands a talis and he raised it over his head. The word vayavor, the subject of vayavor is the talis, not Hashem's presence. Why would Hashem want to move? I was on Shabbos in a place. I was in the, and someone came to visit. A person came to visit. The Rosh Shabbos. And this person obviously has very, very big, came with his wife, in fact, and they started to talk. And this guy gets up, I couldn't believe this, and he starts making hakafas. He makes hakafas around the whole dining room table. Okay, dining room table, like probably two tables in length. And he's mamish making hakafas. Like, can't you sit down? So the guy says to his wife, says, that's what he does at home also. He has ADD. He just he makes hakafas. Sit down. Why is Hashem traveling? Vayavor Hashem. Rabbi Yochanan, pshuto shel mikra. Rabbi Yochanan, vayavor is he took the talis and he put it over his ponim. Okay, so the Gemara learns. So what does it mean? Heref mimeni di ashmidim. Let go of me. Moshe says, let go. I'm not holding on to you. Mikan, Moshe understood Hashem wants me to hold on. How do you hold on to Hashem? How do you hold on? Hashem is not a physical being you can hold on. The answer is the talis. Vayavor Hashem al pono vayikra kaviyochel, I'm Rabbi Yochanan, kaviyochel shenitz'ateif HaKadosh Baruch Hu kishliach tzibur. Hashem puts a talis you can hold on to. You grab the person's garment. You grab on to the talus. Okay, that changed the whole game changer in why, you know, talus is the only mitzvah where b'eden derischa, there's a complaint against Klal Yisrael. Why did you not put yourself in a position to be mekayim the mitzvah of tzitzis? You don't say that by any other mitzvah. Why only do you say this concept is Hashem at a time when Hashem is angry? Hashem has a complaint. Why did you not put on a garment of four corners in order to create a situation where you chayv a mitzvah? It's because vayavor Hashem al ponav Amar Rabbi Yochanan, vayavor Hashem took in his hands a talis, passed it over his head, and he said to Moshe, grab onto my talis and complain to me. Complain to me. You can't head of the man. Let go. Let go of what? You can't touch Hashem, but you can touch his talis. You can hold on to a talis because a talis is a chefza. Is a chefza. Right, okay, that's the only Rashi. Head of Yodcha Milakosi. The Avliga. The Es Chazika. And strengthen. Hashem and the Avliga. And strengthen me before I leave this world. Let's just see the Radak. Okay, we're gonna have to stop very soon because I want to spend some more time today on the parasha. Let's just do a little bit over here. There's really too much to do, in fact. So let's look at Likutei Shas. Okay, let's go back on page 359. Let's at least do something. There's some morale here. There's some nice stuff over here to go through. We have to do it maybe another time. The Pasuk Gimel says, Shema Tifilosi, I'm back on page 359. Shema Tifilosi Hashem Shavosi Hazina El Demasi Al Techarash. Omar Rabbi Elazar Miryom Shachabes Amidosh Ninalu Shadei Tfila. From the time of the Churban, the Sharei Tfila have been closed. Shenemer Gam Ki Ezak Va'ashavea Sosam Tifilos. It's a very, very powerful Pasuk. Although I will cry out, scream and cry out, Sosam Tifilosi. This is the real reason why we don't say Tachanun on Tisha B'Av. Everyone's going to tell you, oh, it's a Moed. Come on. That's not the reason why you say Tachanun. The Iker Koyach of Tzvila is, the climax is Tachanun. And on Tisha B'Av, it says this Pasuk, Sosam Tifilosi, my prayers have been shut out. And in order to show that Hashem does not want to hear our prayers, we do not fall Tachanun. The real reason why we don't fall Tachanun is because Hashem has said to us, I don't want to hear you daven to me today. I don't want to hear, I'm angry at you. Why don't we wear tefillin? Tefillin is the tzura of tefillah. Tefillin, b'loshon yochid, is tefillah. There's a tefillah shel yad, a tefillah shel rosh. Tefillin is a microcosm of the Beis HaMikdash. The tefillin is ki beis tefillah l'chol ho'amim. The Beis HaMikdash is a mokum of tefillah. The tefillin are called tefillah, b'loshon yochid.
So why do we daven at all?
Because we have to daven. We have to go through the motions. Chazal are very clever. You have to still go through the motions. You can't just not daven.
Kaplan said in one of his forum that God doesn't need your tefillah. He wants to see what you're willing to do for yourself.
Right. Absolutely. You're only talking to, we doubting to a degree, you're talking to yourself to
what,
a degree.
What do you want me to do something for you? What are you willing to do for it?
There are three things at least. We don't wear talis and tefillin. Talis and tefillin is the tzur of tefillin. We don't say tiskabel. Tiskabel tzeloi sehoin uva usoin the whole base Yisrael. Hashem accept our prayers. And we don't say tachnun. All based on this pasuk, sosam tefilasi. This idea of that we don't say tachnun because it's a moe, it's a festival. Tisha B'Av will one day in the future become a festival when Mashiach will come. That's a very, it's a chazal,
yeah.
But that's not, by the serious Sfarim, it's a chazal of inspiration, but it's not to be abused as pshat.
Right.
Pshat of not saying Tachnun is because we don't deserve to say Tachnun. We don't say Tiskabel. We don't wear talis and tefillin. That's pshat. there is inspiration. There is emuna. And the emuna is, it will one day become a yom, a moed. It will one day be when Mashiach will come, you know, it will be a special moed. Pesach, the night of Pesach, was the night of the Bris Bein HaBesorim. And the Bris Bein HaBesorim was Tisha B'Av. In Mitzrayim, it's a Chazal. I think Sfas Emes talks about this, that in Mitzrayim, every year, on the 15th day of Nisan, it was Tisha B'Av. They mamish observed a day of Tisha B'Av on the 15th day of Nisan because that was the anniversary. Va'avodum v'inuy oisam arba me'oy shana. That's what they're suffering. They suffered in Egypt for 210 years. They're in Golis. 86 years was Avodas Perach. So on the 15th day of Nisan, they sat on the floor and they mourned the anniversary of the worst day in the world. The Bris Bein Absarim. And what happened? Hashem was mahapech their evlam to days of simcha. So exactly what happened to Maisa of a similar banim, Tisha B'Av, the day of the Churban, will one day be a moed. It will one day be mahapech to a day of Yom Tif. But in the meantime, it's sosam tefilas. Hashem has shut down our prayers, and therefore no tiskabel, no talis and tfilin, and no tachnun. The pshat, that's why there's no tachnun. Someone told me a drush, Rabbi Reuven Zwick, he told me, the reason why you don't say tachnun, and this is a drush, another drush, is because tachnun is b'loshon yochid. Tachnun tachnun is b'loshon yochid.
Right.
It's not proper to complain about yourself when the whole Klal Yisrael is suffering. Tefilasi, my prayer yigach. The whole nusach is a nusach b'loshon yachid. And on a day when the whole Klal Yisrael is suffering, don't focus on yourself. Focus on the Klal Yisrael. So being that the whole tachnun is a private, personal expression of grief, it's only about you. So when everything is fine and good, Klal Yisrael is thriving, and it's a regular day, so you can have your own complaints. But on a day when the whole Klal Yisrael is suffering, it's not a time to complain about yourself. Okay, that's a drush. Now going back to the Chazal said, "Yom Shkobes Hamidrash Imnalu Sharei Tfila Shneimar Gam Ki Ezek Rashave Sosam Tfilasi V'Yaf Al Pi She Sharei Tzefila Ninalu Sharei Dima." The gate of tears Loi Ninalu Shneimar. This is the pasuk that we learned today. Shema Sefilasi Hashem Veshavasi Hazina El Dimosi Al Techerash. Okay, they say that in Bell, I think it was in Bells, not the bells today in Eretz Yisrael, but when they built, I think when they built the original bells, where they duplicated, they copied in the shtetl of Bells, they did the construction. They were ready to daven on the Yomim Noiroim. The only thing that was not yet complete was the Ezra's Noshim. I don't know who it was, the Sar Shalom Shal Bells. Maybe I'm mixing this up with another Hasidus. He said, "No, we will not daven in the new Beis Medrash until the Ezra's Noshim is complete, because the Ezra's Noshim is the Sharei Demois." Noshim have a koyach of dima much, much more than men. And the men on the Yamim Noiram need to hang on to the coattails of the Noshim. The Noshim's dimois, it soars to Shemayim, and the men need to hold on to those tears. The Sharei dimois loy ninalu. Beis HaKnesses is incomplete without an Ezra's Noshim.
According to
everyone. Like I told Rabbi Shur, he made a big rash. About 3 years ago, Rabbi Shur made a very big rash. He sent out an email to his people demanding that the Noshim should come to Shul for Shacharis during the week of Aseres Yimei Teshuvah. He wanted the women of his Shul, the whole Flamish was talking about this. Rabbi Shur is fire, you know. The Geras are not very big fans of women. I can't do a lot of trouble for saying that. But the Geras, if there's anyone that is mavdil bein anoshim lenoshim, it's ger. Hamevin yovin, and I'm sure he is more ger than ger. His mamish is more ger, and he sent out an email demanding that the noshim should come 7 o'clock or 6:30 with their husbands every morning to shul during the aser simei teshuva to daven, and open up the mechitzah. In most shuls, the mechitzahs, you know, they have these movable mechitzahs, and once Mitzvah Shabbos Shacharis is over, whoop, those mechitzahs are gone, okay, and it's only for the men. Only Shabbos morning do they put up the mechitzahs. No, the women have to come. The women must come to Shacharis. In fact, I have a neighbor who they davened there. I told this many times, and she went. She's probably in her upper 60s, I would imagine. She went, she told me this is a very, very frum woman, you know, like, you know, it's a very chashuv woman. She told me it came after Shemona Esrei, and all of a sudden it was quiet. And she didn't know what happened. She got very, why is it so quiet? She looked over the mechitza, and she saw all the men on the table, with wrapped up in their talis, their heads on the table. And she had no clue what was going on. She never in her life saw Tachna. And she told me it blew her mind. She never saw something so beautiful her whole life. I was sitting there listening to this in utter shock. And I said to her, you know, they say that a woman, there's no pain in the world like childbirth. A man has no clue what it's like to go through childbirth. So I said, let me tell you something else. There's no bigger hana a man has when he comes to shul on a Monday, Thursday, and he thinks we're going to say Tachanun, and then right after, Amavari Chasamo Yisrael Ba'ashem, they give a clap, no Tachanun, Yiskadal. The hana that a man has in this world, there's no hana in the whole world, there's no greater hana a man can have in this world when he thinks we're going to say Tachanun on Monday, Thursday, and they don't say Tachanun. And you're telling me you never saw something so beautiful?
That's what they call it.
We're living in different worlds.
This story is always one of the rabbis. How come
the reason why they never saw it? Baruch, what are you saying?
I'm just saying the reason why they never saw it, because the only time they ever came to shul the weekday was by a bris.
Oh, and by a bris, you don't say Tachman. All right, it's very late, so we're going to have to stop over here.
What about Minister? Minister, they say
that. Yeah.
So why are they indoors?
Because fake tears. Fake tears. The Shari Dibolo in an alu, crocodile tears. Politicians. You ever see the politicians make believe that they cry? Okay, crocodile tears. There are still gates to prevent the fake tears. It's not a free for all. I'll take a short break. We have to learn about Hazinu and about Sukkos. A couple of ideas.